The words of God given to us today is Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 to 14. Please turn to page 310 of the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 to 14. Allow me to read the words of God. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. Article 2, The Purpose, Paragraph 3 of our Church's Articles of Incorporation stipulates the following. Our Church will inherit the faith and the spirit of 100 years of Korean Christianity and do its all to meet the calling of laying the right path for 200 years of Korean Christianity. One of the main purposes of establishing our church was not to build a church chapel, but to lay the right path for the Korean Christianity. The role of John the Baptist, who was born 6 months before Jesus, was to lay the right path and prepare for the Lord to come. In other words, paving the right way for the Lord was John's mission. And the message that John delivered while giving baptism for others' repentance was the following. Luke chapter 3 verses 4 to 6. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all the people will see God's salvation. So John quotes the words of Isaiah chapter 40 in the Old Testament and proclaims that such words have been fulfilled. Isaiah 40 describes the scene where a new history begins. The people of Judah turned their backs on God and his word and committed the sin of constantly worshiping other idols. And as a result of that, the whole nation collapsed and many people were taken captive and brought to Babylon, where they had to live as slaves for 70 years. They had to live as slaves for twice as long as Korea had suffered under the Japanese colonial rule. And while God had promised through the prophet Jeremiah that they would return to their homeland after 70 years, very few of the people of Judah actually believed such words. At the time, they had never seen or experienced captives returning to their homeland. So on they lived in abject hopelessness. However, God's words were eventually fulfilled. And that is why the psalmist sang about the joy when the people of Judah returned from captivity. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like those who dreamed. The people of Judah thought that if there really was a day that they returned to Israel, it would be only in their dreams. However, what seemed like a dream has really happened in reality. Prophet Isaiah referred to this and prophesies that one needs to prepare the way for the Lord and that the crooked roads shall become straight. And that if you prepare the way for the Lord, then he will eventually bring his people back to walk on that path. When you think of the wilderness, you think of a vast plain. Therefore, one may think that paving a road in the wilderness is not such a difficult task, as the road could be paved in any direction. However, the wilderness of Israel was not like a vast plain. It was a place where nomads would raise their livestock and the area resembled mountainous areas. The width of the wilderness of Israel from the east to the west is about 16 to 25 kilometers, and the length from the north to the south was about 75 kilometers. And the wilderness also consisted of many wadis or river valleys, which became even wider when it rained, and also of steep valleys to the west. And thus, such land could not even be used as transportation routes. So in sum, the wilderness of Israel was a completely isolated and closed off area with high mountains and low valleys. But Prophet Isaiah is saying that every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight and the rough ways smooth. And it was John the Baptist's calling to deliver this news so that people could prepare the way of the Lord. The prophecy that the valleys shall be filled up, every mountain and valley, small and large, will be made low, and the crooked roads shall become straight and the rough ways smooth, alludes to the strong will of God to save and deliver his people. If there is no such path, then he will make a path by cutting down the mountains or filling in the valleys to deliver his people, no matter what. And that is why he sent Jesus Christ to this earth to accomplish that salvation. Therefore, God is saying that if we prepare the way for the Lord to come and straighten the roads of our lives, we will eventually experience God's salvation. Going back to our church's articles of incorporation, inheriting the faith and the spirit of 100 years of Korean Christianity and doing its all to meet the calling of laying the right path for 200 years of Korean Christianity means paving the path with integrity and making it whole. If there is a dent in the road, we pair it. If there is a hole, we fill it in. And if there is an obstacle blocking the road, then we eliminate it. And where there is no path at all, then we pave a path. In order to maintain the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery as a missionary cemetery and the park as a park, the most urgent task for us is to repeatedly visit, prune, pull out the weeds, plant flowers, and pick up trash that has fallen on the ground. And if deemed necessary, we can also establish or build a church chapel. We now have 60 years left until we reach the 200th anniversary of Korean Christianity. And since its founding, our church has been doing its utmost to glorify the Lord's name and make the church a church where the Lord takes sovereignty. Indeed, this has been an extremely daunting task where we had to invest all of our hearts, our will, and our strength into it. And marking just 1 year before the 20th anniversary of our church's founding, and in order to remind us of our original mission and to reestablish the mission of path paving towards the 200th anniversary, we adopted the so-called 100th anniversary Memorial Church Path Paving Mission at the 229th Standing Committee meeting held last July after extensive deliberation and resolution. And we have handed them out together with today's program. This describes what a church should do to maintain its role as a church, what the pastor should do to maintain its role as a pastor, and what the church members should do in order to maintain its role as part of the church congregation. And of course, this is by no means a completed version. Depending on the circumstances and the times, it will continue to develop and mature and change in alignment with our growth and maturity in faith. What I sincerely hope is for this mission statement to become a practical guide and a handbook for our church so that our church can set an example for the Korean churches. And in doing so, I hope that this small step will become the priming water, the stepping stone, and the milestone so that when the Korean church reaches its 200th anniversary, 60 years from now, the Lord's name will be much more exalted than it is now. And the Korean churches have truly become the salt and light of the world. That is what I sincerely hope. Today's scripture also testifies that the Holy Spirit is the priming water and the milestone to us. It is said that all the 12 verses from Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 to 14 actually forms a single sentence in the Greek Bible. When we come across the grand nature, the lyrics of hymn 78 naturally pops up in our minds. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Verses 3 to 14 is a reflection of these lyrics. However, Apostle Paul did not write this letter to the Ephesian church while looking at the great nature, but while he was imprisoned in Rome and while his body was tied in chains. Nevertheless, his soul was experiencing the indescribable works of God and his salvation. Ephesians, along with the book of Romans, is said to be the book that best summarizes the gist of God's salvation. If the book of Romans describes in detail how sinful we humans are and how much we are in need of a Savior, the book of Ephesians describes in detail the tremendous work that God has done for us to atone us of our sins and grant salvation. Therefore, then, we can draw an analogy that the book of Romans is a microscope describing the basis for our salvation, while the book of Ephesians is a telescope prescribing the great works of God to fulfill such salvation. Verses 3 to 14 testify to what the Trinity has specifically done for us. Verses 3 to 6 tells us what the Father, God the Father, has done for us, which is predestination and choosing us. God the Father has chose us in Him even before the world was created and adopted us as His sons through Jesus Christ. Moving on, verses 7 to 12 tells us what God the Son has done for us, which is redemption or the forgiveness of sins. Furthermore, it says that all things will be brought together in heaven and on earth under one head of the Christ. And verses 13 to 14 describes what the Holy Spirit has done for us, which is that He has marked us with a seal and made Himself a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Essentially, it is a promise of the Holy Spirit that He will guide us until the very end. Today's scripture, verse 13, testifies, "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." God has lavished on us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, which can be explained in the following. Firstly, God has chosen us in Him even before the creation of the world. Secondly, in Him we have redemption through His blood. And thirdly, you were also included in Christ when you were marked in Him with a seal. Taking a closer look at the scripture, we find that Apostle Paul specifically mentioned us, or we, as the subjects when speaking about the blessings from God the Father and God the Son. However, when he was referring to the third blessing from the Holy Spirit, notice how he mentions you, not we. Upon reading this letter and the blessings of God the Father and God the Son, who chose us and redeemed us, the churches of Ephesus might have wondered, but we who? We as in Apostle Paul and his fellow workers, or we as in the Jews who became Christians? These may have been asked by the people of the Church of Ephesus. So expecting this, Apostle Paul is intentionally shifting attention of the readers to argue that what God has thus what God has done for us not only applies to the Jewish Christians, but also to Christians of the Gentiles. A distinction is no longer meaningful between the Jewish and the Gentiles at this point. In fact, God has chosen us in Him before the creation of the world, and so any distinction between the Jewish and the Gentiles is deemed moot. And the coming together of the Jewish and the Gentiles, and how a distinction is meaningless, is in fact one of the main important themes of the book of Ephesians. The theme of the Yanghojin Thursday lecture in the second half of 2024 is the miracle of living together. And in particular, we are inviting lecturers from organizations sponsored by our church to give lectures. Last Thursday, Professor Kang Jin-gu, who works at the Christian Worldview Studies Association, and who is also working at Goshin University, gave a lecture titled Wisdom of Living Together with Multiculturalism. It was very informative and gave us a lot of food for thought. Professor Kang began his lecture with the story of the National Women's Table Tennis Team, who won the bronze medal at the 2024 Paris Olympics in July and in August. Korea defeated Germany in the women's table tennis game and won a bronze medal for the first time in 16 years. The team game is a match where three players must win three out of five matches, including four singles and one doubles, in order to claim victory. The Korean team who competed at the time included Shin Yu-bin, Jeon Ji-hee, and Lee In-hae. Shin Yu-bin is a Korean national, originally, while Jeon Ji-hee and Lee In-hae are originally from the Hebei province of China, but were naturalized in 2011. In particular, Lee In-hae used to be a player in the Inner Mongolia region, an autonomous district of China, but she met coach Yang Yong-ja, a 1988 Seoul Olympics gold medalist who was doing missionary work there, and decided to come to Korea. So before the year 2011, the three players who participated and won the Olympic medal had all had different nationalities, one from Korea and the other two from the People's Republic of China. However, ever since 2011, they have come together under one nationality and under one team as Koreans in Korea. Likewise, the Jews and the Gentiles lived very different lives with very different values and regarded each other as barbaric. However, they became one as the sons of God in Christ and equally became the citizens of the kingdom of God. And this is why Apostle Paul is addressing you as you and not we in today's scripture. The Holy Spirit says that we were marked in Him with a seal after hearing and believing the word of the truth. And the act of sealing or stamping a seal has three meanings. The first means to proclaim authority and authenticity. Daniel's political enemies desperately searched for Daniel's faults in order to bring him down, but they could not find them. And the only way these enemies could bring Daniel down was to interfere with his relationship with God, whom Daniel trusted dearly. So therefore, they issued a decree and stamped it with the king's seal, prohibiting anyone from praying to any god or man and throwing him into the lion's den for 30 days if found to be in breach. But Daniel, knowing that the decree had been sealed and promulgated, went back to his house and nonetheless opened his windows out to Jerusalem and carried on praying three times a day while kneeling down to give thanks to God. Of course, Daniel's enemies were spying on his every move, and they went to the king and said, Daniel chapter 6, verse 12. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? And the king answered, The decree stands, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So the king's seal bears the king's authority. When we buy or sell a house or land, or sign a lease contract for a house, we stamp it with a seal and have it notarized. No matter how detailed and accurate the contract is, if it is not stamped with a seal, it is invalidated. Also, a copy of the document with the seal has no effect. It has to be the original copy. And you may not have noticed, but towards the end of our church's Bible study materials, it says, written by Jung Hanjo. This is an official statement that I have created and published the materials. And by the same token, the Holy Spirit marking us with His seal is proof that we have truly become the children of God and the citizens of God's kingdom. The second means ownership. God spoke to the people of Israel and said that if an Israelite became a slave for reasons of not paying back the loan or for other reasons, he or she should be freed after 7 years. However, some slaves argued that they do not want to be freed and rather live with their current master for the rest of their lives. And pertaining to such people, God had prescribed the following, Exodus chapter 21, verse 6. Then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life. The judges here refer to God in the context of today's scripture. So piercing a slave's ear means that the slave will remain loyal to his master going forward and to the master. It indicates that the slave is his and that he will take responsibility for him till the end. Generally, books belonging to a library is marked with the concerned library's seal. This means that the book is owned by the library. Also, people who own many books make their own seals and may also stamp them on the books that they own. So the fact that the Holy Spirit has marked us with a seal is God proclaiming that we are truly owned by the Trinity God. The third meaning of stamping a seal means protection. After Jesus died on the cross for our atonement, his body was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Jesus repeatedly told his disciples that he would be killed, but would rise on the third day. And at first, the disciples listened to his words with one ear and let them go out the other. However, the high priests and the religious leaders who were trying to crucify Jesus did not forget his words. They thought that if the disciples actually stole and hid Jesus' body and then claimed that he had risen, just as Jesus has claimed, then that would be an even bigger problem for them. So they went to Pontius Pilate and told him about it to demand that the tomb be guarded tightly for the next 3 days. And upon hearing this, Pontius Pilate said the following. Matthew chapter 27, verses 65 to 66. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. The religious leaders were not satisfied with simply posting guards to secure the tomb and went so far as to seal the stone. And such is how they thought that the body of Jesus will not be stolen. In the past, when sending a letter, one would sign the letter or stamp a seal on the part where the envelope was glued, so that when the recipient opened the letter, if the signature or stamp was not intact and was tampered with, it meant that someone had already opened the letter. Also, when sending important letters, one did not just tie it with a string, but also melted wax and applied the melted wax to the string. And upon receiving the letter, if the shape of the wax was not intact and was distorted, it meant that someone had already tampered with the mail. The fact that the Holy Spirit has marked us with a seal means that He is promising us to be protected and not be tampered with until we take our last breath on this earth. Verse 14, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. So the Holy Spirit is also saying that He will be a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. In the Korean Bible, right before the word deposit, a small number 4 is written, and the corresponding footnote says, in Greek words, deposit. The Greek word for deposit is arabon, which means down payment or the first installment payment. I have moved 5 times since I joined this church, and I'm planning to move for the 6th time in February of next year. And when signing a Jeonse lease for a house, you must first pay 1/10 of the deposit as lump sum prior to the contract date, which indicates the lessee's willingness to execute the contract. And you pay the rest of the amount on the contract signing date, and then the lease contract would take effect. Such down payment or the lump sum for the lease contract is arabon. Also, when signing a lease contract for a house or a commercial building, one promises to pay a certain amount of monthly rent along with a certain amount of deposit. For example, if you decide to pay a deposit of 100 million won and a monthly rent of 1 million won, you have to continue to pay such 1 million won on a designated date of every month until the expiration of the contract. And the very first installment payment, is called arabon. When signing a lease contract, a larger contract amount means a larger deposit for that lease. If the Holy Spirit Himself has become the deposit to guarantee our inheritance, then imagine how big and how grand this contract is. And since the deposit is eternal, the contract itself is also eternal and will not expire. Indeed, if the Holy Spirit is a first installment payment for us to become the children of God and to live as the people of God, this means that the same Holy Spirit is promising us to take us into His wing eternally. So then, this naturally prompts the question of why the Holy Spirit became our deposit and our arabon in the first place. Let us read out verse 14 again. Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory? The reason is to praise God's glory. Such is also the reason why God the Father and God the Son has predestined and granted us redemption. Verse 6, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Verse 12, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. So we should always offer the praise of glory to the triune God and not to humans. I have taken two Sabbaths at our church, and the first being in 2014. During the 3 to 4 months, I visited 12 churches across Seoul and the Gyeonggi area to give worship. Among those churches, some were mega churches whose names will be very familiar to you, and some were not so large but also were well known, and some were churches close to my house. I attended the service that was held relatively early in the morning, similar to the timing of our church's first service. And each church service had its own characteristics. But there was one common thing that all the 12 churches had in common. One of them was that after the choir sang, the congregation clapped their hands toward the choir. On the contrary, our church do not clap our hands after the choir sings. The reason is that the choir sings to offer a confession of melody to God and only to God on behalf of the congregation. And such praise is not directed towards the congregation, but only to God. And that is why we do not clap our hands towards the choir, but rather say amen in a small voice. This is essentially a unanimous acknowledgement saying that, yes, God, the praise of the choir is also my confession to you, and I agree with the praises of the choir offered up to you. If everything that the Trinity has done is to enable us to praise the glory of God, then it is only right that every part of our lives become a way to glorify the Trinity. And living such a life is the most righteous way to live, and also the best way to live. If the Holy Spirit becoming a deposit for our inheritance has truly moved and instilled hope in you and in us, then let us truly live a life that praises the Trinity even more. And let us live a life to the praise of his glory. Living a life inspired by the fact the Holy Spirit is our deposit does not mean living according to our own emotions. Rather than being swayed by our emotions, it means living with all our hearts, all our minds, and all our strength in the place of life given to us, which is much more worthy of and befitting of a life where the Holy Spirit has become the deposit of our lives. If we are truly moved by the Holy Spirit becoming the deposit and the first installment of our lives, then let us faithfully walk that path given to us on this earth and the path given to our church community. And in order to faithfully walk that path, let us open the window towards the triune God. And although it may not be easy to live as a path paver for the remaining years until the 200th year of Korean Christianity, if we faithfully fulfill that role, then our church will become the passageway that the Lord uses more and more each day. Because the Holy Spirit has become our deposit who guaranteed our inheritance. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to understand that the Christ is the deposit and has become the deposit for our lives and our inheritance. We confess that no matter how much we think of ourselves, we are weak and foolish, full of faults and sins, and we can never fully fathom the reason behind the blessings that you have lavished on us. May the fact that the Holy Spirit has become our deposit that guarantees our lives become our hope and courage until the moment we breathe our last breath on this earth. And in doing so, may the praise towards God become our ways of lives, and our lives become a way of praise. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to name our church the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church in order to carry on the faith and the spirit of the 100 years of Korean Christianity, and for allowing us to pursue the mission to pave the right path towards 200 years of Korean Christianity. We are well aware that this mission is not accomplished simply by shouting slogans every week, holding mega events, or building the largest chapel in Korea. So instead, may we faithfully walk the path that you have entrusted to us in our daily lives. May the path that we walk become an example and a milestone for the path that the Korean churches should walk. And in doing so, may our 100th Anniversary Memorial Church become a church where the Lord takes sovereignty and be used as a vessel by the Lord. We all pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.